Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Hi everyone, and welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I have a returning guest. Marta's back with us. She was here before we had an episode together, and she came on the episode about the conversation club. So definitely check those out if you haven't already. But today we're here to talk about perfectionism, because I think that's something that many of us can relate to, and it's good to explore it a bit more. So Marta and I have known each other for about a year and a half now, I think. First she came to the she was involved in one of my challenges, and then she started coming to the conversation club, and now she's one of our regular visitors at the club for freelancers and business owners. So that's how we know each other. But maybe you'd like to tell the listeners something about yourself and what you do if they don't know you already.
Yes, of course, thank you. Well, I'm a freelance translator. I translate from English and German into Spanish most of the time, and sometimes into Catalan as well. I come from Barcelona, but I've been living in Germany for more than 20 years now. And as a translator, my main fields of expertise are marketing and advertising, or transcreation. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, I started offering consultancy services to fellow translators, interpreters, copywriters, editors too. And I help them to get better organized with their time, to get better organized, to find more time for the things they care most about. And I help them with mindset issues too. So I help them dealing with perfectionism when their perfectionism is holding them back. And because, well, with perfectionism, I'm quite the expert. Mm-hmm. So this
That's
is something I can, something I can relate very, very good to.
Yeah, I think it's something that can follow us throughout our lives if it's something that we are prone to do. I know that for me, it's something that, I guess not in all areas, but if it's something that I care about, then I can be a perfectionist, and sometimes I can get in my own way, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have this talk here. Because for me, it's something that can show up at work, but it mainly shows up when I'm learning languages. So I thought that would be a good topic for us. So let's start. How would you define perfectionism?
Well, in my case, it would be this love for details, for small details, but sometimes this love turns into an obsession, and then I will forget this bigger picture, you know? And in my case, it's also this desire to do everything as well as possible. And this, as in your case, this is for things for things that are important for me. And my perfectionism is like when, as a translator or as a language learner, is something that I have to deal a lot with.
I mean, I think it has positive sides too. Like, it means that you have good attention to detail, and like, some of it is good, some of it is because you're trying to protect yourself from making mistakes or doing something wrong. But I think the problem comes when it's too much. Like, for me, it's not even about getting everything right. Sometimes I don't even do things because I'm like, oh, that might not be right, or I won't post that comment because maybe there's a small mistake in it and I don't want people to see that. And that means that people don't find out what I would have said, and maybe it would have been useful for them, but because I was too busy being a perfectionist, they didn't find out what my idea would have been. So I think really perfectionism is a problem when it when it stops us doing the things that we could do or the things that we want to do, or when it prevents us from growing because we're too scared to take that next step.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how has it been for you in terms of language learning? Did it ever stop you from doing things, or did it make anything take longer than it should have, or how does it look?
Absolutely. I still can remember as a child when I started learning English, you know, I had this, I wanted to learn every single word by heart. I had this very high expectations on me, even as a child. And I can still remember trying to learn every single word from, I don't know, lesson one. And then noticing I don't have any time left for any word in from lesson five, you know. And this led to a lot of stress. And it didn't serve me at all, you know, these very high expectations. And I said it before, I've been living in Germany for the last for more than 20 years now, and English was or used to be my first additional language. And then in university I started learning German, and at some point whenever I tried to speak English, German would get in the way. And then I moved to Germany and I came to live in this very German bubble, so my English would get or my English got very rusty, and I wasn't fluent anymore. And I felt so self-conscious because I thought, oh, as a freelance translator, as a translator, I should be able to speak fluently. That I stopped at all speaking. I avoided any situation in which if I had to speak in English, I wouldn't go. And and then my spoken English really, really got rusty. You know, if you don't practice for 20 years, you cannot be fluent anymore. And I think, looking back, this was my perfectionism getting in the way, which is a pity, you know.
Yeah, because often we can find strategies to avoid the thing that we don't want to do. Like at the beginning of when I started using German in a real context, so not just for studying, but I was working on a project with a lot of German people, and I could avoid speaking to them by writing emails and messages. That was an option that was available to me, and I took it every time because I didn't want to talk to anyone. Now I don't have that problem, but at the time I kept doing this, and the problem got worse. And then we had to have a meeting, and they almost didn't recognize me because I wasn't the person who was sending lots of emails and sharing lots of ideas. I was sitting there in the corner hoping nobody would speak to me, because I didn't address the problem sooner. It just got bigger. If I'd started, you know, having one-to-one conversations with people from the project, and then I would have felt better prepared for this big meeting. But I didn't do that. So when I got there, I really struggled. But I think some of these things, like at school, for example, you have to do certain activities, but in your professional and private life, you can avoid things if you want to. But if you do that, they never get better, because the problem doesn't get resolved.
Yeah. And sometimes in my case, they get bigger and bigger in my head. And when I say, okay, stop, you'll try, you will take baby steps. And then I realize, well, it's not that big deal. You know, I made look for a word in the beginning, but after a while, if I know the person, this person, and I feel confident, I will start speaking much better, you know. It's not that I'm not able to build a single sentence.
Yeah, and I think even in our own language, I was speaking to someone in English this morning and I forgot a word in English. So it happens in your own language too, especially if you're maybe switching a lot throughout the day between different languages. But even then, normally it's normal to forget a word and we don't think anything of it in our first language. But if we do it in another language, that's a big deal. Why didn't we learn this word? So we're talking
Well,
about, there we go.
sorry. No, this is something I realized I do a lot, like setting the same standards in all my languages, like or forgetting I sometimes I don't know a word in my own first language, you know, or wanting to all my text in any language to be as perfect as a paid assignment. You know what I mean? Like giving the same importance to a comment on social media in German as I would do for a paid assignment in Spanish. It's like this. It makes no sense. You
No,
know
it
what I
doesn't
mean?
deserve that much of your time and energy. Yeah, you want it to be good, but good is good enough. It doesn't have to be perfect. So we're talking about vocabulary and, getting our own spoken and written language right. Would you say that you're a perfectionist in every area of language, or are there some things that you can let go a bit more, be more relaxed about?
I'm very relaxed when it comes to reading. I read a lot and I don't need to know every single word, or when I'm listening, when I'm watching a show or something, I can say, well, I think I read a lot of fantasy and like historical novels. I like Game of Thrones, this kind of thing. And I mean, you cannot learn every weapon by heart.
Some of those are
It's
created as well. They're fantasy worlds, so some of those things don't even exist in the
yeah.
real world.
So I don't really care if I don't understand, and I always say to myself with this kind of books, okay, if this word is so important, it will keep coming again and again, and in the end I will understand it from the context, and if not, it wasn't that important. So I say, okay, they are fighting again, he's still alive or not, you know, I don't really care. So I'm not perfectionist in every area. What about you?
I think it's probably the same. So things that don't reflect on me, like reading and listening, I can be more relaxed about. But if I feel that it's reflecting me, my own understanding of the language, like speaking or writing, then I care more. And I think also I feel more relaxed the better I know a language. So because I know that there are ways that I can get myself out of a difficult situation if I don't know something. I find it most frustrating at the beginning of a language because I don't have the vocabulary. I guess in English, I feel quite confident that I can express myself and I don't really hunt around for words much in English. I know how to explain what I'm thinking or what I want to say. And when that's taken away from you in a new language, whilst I enjoy the parts of a new language, like discovering how it works and seeing the differences between this language and other languages that I speak, or finding out how the grammar works, because I love grammar and looking for patterns and understanding how it works, but I don't love feeling like a child, a small child, and not being able to express myself. Whereas when I have been speaking a language for a bit longer, it's frustrating that I don't know some of the words that I need, but I'm better able to communicate and to describe something or to say something in a different way. So I start to feel a bit less self-conscious then, because I know that I will find a way. Whereas at the beginning I have no idea what to say, and then that makes me feel very self-conscious. But I think you had a different experience, didn't you? It's the other
Yeah,
way for you.
it's the other way around. I feel much more confident and I feel much braver at the beginning because I think, okay, I'm a beginner. Nobody expects me to build a right sentence, you know? So I'm brave and I will speak a lot and well, if you know that I don't set these high expectations on me. And then over time, I mean, if you've been learning English for 10 or 20 years, you know, it's like now it should be perfect, you know. And of course, this is impossible, but I feel more self-conscious now that at the beginning, although I speak much better now, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess some people relate to one way and some people to the other. Feeling so self-conscious at either end of the spectrum probably doesn't help us. I think it's good to be honest about how we feel, because if you try to suppress your emotions and pretend they're not there, they will come back. They don't go anywhere, they just build up. So I think it's good to be honest, but at the same time, find ways to deal with that self-consciousness, or to deal with that fear of speaking, or however the perfectionism raises its head. So what would you say are some tips, some practical things to try and, it's a process, it's not going to be gone tomorrow. It's something that we have to keep working on. But what's helped you, or what tips would you give to someone else who is thinking about this?
For me, it has helped me a lot to, well, to sit down and reflect and really asking myself, okay, Marta, are these high expectations on you really serving you, or is this perfectionism that holds you back? You know, you said that with, did you say that with, done is better than perfect? This
Yeah, I
is,
probably said
I
that.
don't know, but this is something, this is an advice I get a lot and I try to use it, but it doesn't really work for me. You know, and then I say, okay, it's better if I send this email today or if I post this content on social media, or shall I wait until tomorrow, you know, and go over it and read it again. And most of the times, it's better for me if I wait, you know.
Yeah, you see things that you didn't see when you wrote it. You need a bit of
And
space.
I think, well, this may be perfectionism, but it's a perfectionism that serves me, you know. I feel better. It's something that helps me. But like I said, to say I won't speak at all in English because I'm not fluent enough, this is something that's holding me back in every area. So this has to stop. So this asking me is this the right thing to do? Yes, this is something I would advise other
Yeah, and
people to do.
you mentioned the small steps. I think that's another thing, like finding a step between the thing that you feel a bit nervous about doing and where you are now. So, for example, when I started learning Romanian, I was very shy about speaking. So I had the problem with German. I got over that, and then it came back with Romanian. But I knew that if I was talking to somebody like a friend one-to-one, that would be easier than some of the other things that I was doing, like presenting my business in a meeting where I was the only non-native speaker. So I did more of the thing that was a bit challenging, but talking to my friends, yeah, they wanted me to succeed. They weren't going to laugh at me. In fact, nobody laughed at me, but doing something that is a bit easier than the challenge you've set yourself is a way to get there, because starting off with a really hard thing might be too much of a leap. But if you can find a step in between that is a bit of a stretch, a bit of a challenge, but it's not too bad, and then you do that, you find you can do it, you feel better about it, and then you can go on to the next thing. I think for me that helps. So finding easier ways to get to the activity or the place that I want to be.
Yes, absolutely. This would be my advice too, like taking baby steps. And for instance, when I decided to sign up for your conversation club, it was a challenge for me, like, ooh, who is going to be there? And I will have to say, I'm a translator. What are they going to think? You know, this. But it felt manageable. It was a challenge for me, but I didn't freeze. And because this is a problem for me, if a challenge is too big, I will freeze. I will start procrastinating. This is something that's very li related to my perfectionism, you know? And so I said, well, I will sign up for one time. I don't have to repeat it if I don't like it. And then I took part in this first conversation club, club and this how do you session, and it was all right, it was fine, and I said, okay, I will do it again, you know.
But if at the beginning I said, "Oh, you'll do, can you please do two podcasts with me and two presentations at the club," which you have done now. But if I said that at the beginning, maybe that would have been too much and you would never have come back to the club. But
No.
you started with just participating, introducing yourself at the beginning, and then, taking part in the discussion if you want to, and then moving forward to doing the presentation, then to doing the podcast. It's building gradually so that you get more and more confident as the things become more challenging, but they don't feel as challenging because you've already done something else in between.
Yes, absolutely. I think 2 years ago, I wouldn't have volunteered for a podcast in any language, you know. It's no, never, ever. This is not me. So, and here I am, and I'm sure I'm making mistakes along the way, and it's all right. And this would be another tip, of me, like putting myself in situations when I know, okay, I'm going to make mistakes, because there's no way I speak for half an hour and not make a single mistake, for instance. But to know, okay, it was good enough, you know, and it didn't happen anything like very, I don't know.
Nothing
The I
bad,
would
nothing embarrassing, nothing. Yeah, it was just.
yeah, the and the world kept spinning round, you know. It's like, oh, I make a mistake, but I'm here, you know. I think with this perfectionism, it's about to looking at the bigger picture, you know, what it's all right.
Yeah, but also sometimes it helps to think about, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen here? Not to be
Yes.
negative, but just to think, okay, and that worst thing, how bad is that? It's not that bad really, is it? It's like what's the worst thing? How likely is it to happen? Like this terrible thing that you think is going to happen, what is the chance realistically of that happening? So it's not going to be that bad and it's not going to be that likely to happen. So really, does it deserve so much energy?
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
And I think making it fun as well. Like if you can find some ways, if for example, speaking is something that you find difficult, find some ways to speak in a way that's fun for you. Maybe get a language exchange partner or find a group in the language that you're learning connected to one of your hobbies or a book club or whatever, but do something that you will enjoy and then you'll get the practice by default. And at the same time, you'll improve and it won't seem so scary because I really do believe that learning should be fun. Yeah, we all have to do
Yeah.
it if we want to improve, but if you make it really serious and boring, then nobody's gonna do it. So I really think it
Yeah.
should be fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I do think being surrounded by nice people who help you in your language journey, if you want, is something that that has helped me a lot. Well, not 20, 30 years ago, I was in Berlin for my language exchange, and I was a year abroad, and I met this student from the Basque country, and she was a very nice person, and she wanted to learn German too. And of course, we could speak Spanish, but we decided we are going to speak in German. And it was lovely because at the time it was very difficult for us to build a long sentence. And in German, sentences can get very long, and you have
Yes.
to wait until the end to say, to put the verb at
Just
the
to find
end.
out what the verb was, yeah.
And then sometimes you forget, oh, how did I start this sentence? I don't remember. You know? So we would look at each other, and when the other one was able to build a sentence, we would congratulate ourselves, you know, like congratulate the other one with thumbs up or something. And German speakers wouldn't notice this was being so difficult for us, no?
Yeah.
But having this support, having someone who understands what you're going through is something I find it very helpful.
Yeah, and people who will help, because I've had so many nice experiences with Romanian. With German, although German I started at school, so I've had people that have helped me along the way, but I already had some level of German when I started. But with Romanian and now with Portuguese, I'm starting from the beginning. And I've encountered so many kind and helpful people who are happy that someone is learning their language and we want to help. So I think if you look, you will find them. The same with people who are learning English. If you look for nice people, you'll find them. And yeah, and then you can maybe help those people or maybe help them in some other way. But yeah, I think it's good to not be alone when you're trying to get past your perfectionism, but also learning a language in general.
I actually practice a bit, quite a bit for this interview because I wanted to be spontaneous, but I wanted to rehearse as well, you know, finding this balance. And I rehearsed with two fellow translators who actually were guests of you on the podcast, Jane Eggers and Olivia Siegel. And it was so nice. They are both native speakers, you know, and we met online for a little chat about perfectionism, and it's nice to get this feedback and to get some support, and this makes me feel more confident and brave, and you know, you don't have to do this alone.
Yeah, the translator community especially is very supportive. I've managed to infiltrate, even though I'm not a
Yes,
translator, but I'm working on, other projects and things, and I've met some really, really nice people in that community on LinkedIn. So I think, yeah, it's good to find people who will support you and want you to do well, and you can do the same for them in other ways. So I wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast. Some of our experiences are different, but others are very similar. So it's good to find someone else who's challenging their perfectionism and trying to make sure it doesn't stop us doing the things we want to do. And I think some of the tips that we've shared will also make sense to other people. They will resonate. So I hope that the listeners will take courage from our what we've shared today and our tips. If people want to find you, where's the best place to find you online?
My website is martapagans.com with a hyphen between Marta and Pagans, Marta without an H and Pagans like PAGANS. And for your German speaking listeners, I have a blog and I send a newsletter twice a month. And I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. In fact, I think we met there at
Yeah,
the
we did.
beginning. And I'm always happy to be connected with new people. So if you want to get in touch, just drop me a line.
Okay, and I'll put all of those links on our interview page so people can just click straight through. And yeah, thank you for coming back on the podcast, and I'm sure we'll see each other again soon. Have a lovely day.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.